Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet, and we have a very special show for you indeed. It is the Derby this weekend, and we'll be looking at all five live races from Epsom, including the big classic at 3:30 on Saturday. If you're a fan of our shows, do make sure to rate, review and subscribe, because we've got loads of coverage to come on the big race on Saturday. But let's start with this one here, and joining me to discuss all the doings at on the Downs this weekend, in the top right, if you're watching along, is tipster Graham Rodway, our Lambourne correspondent in the bottom left, Liam Head, and of course, Ed Nicholson from Unibet at the bottom right. Guys, let's go straight into the Derby. It's at 3:30 on Saturday at Epsom, one of the biggest races of the season, and they bet with Unibet as follows after the draw on Wednesday. Delacroix at 11-4 favourite. The Guineas winner, Ruling Court 100-30 for the Godolphin team. Pride of Arras at 5-1. The Lion in Winter. What do our panels think of this horse's chance? Such a big talking horse. Well, he's 15-2. Lambourne, the Lambourne man, maybe he'll be tipping that one up at 10-1. Damisus at 12s. Medak supplemented for the race 14s, along with Stanhope Gardens. Nightwalk at 20-1 and 28-1 bar. Graham Rodway, kick us off. What wins the Epsom Derby this weekend?
Yeah, I can't wait for this race. James, it's like a throwback derby, isn't it? It's like wide open, 19 runners. Looks like every horse in there has got some sort of chance. Even the big outsiders I can make a case for. The question is, I guess, is what is the strongest piece of form in the race? You would almost always say that the 2,000 Guineas is the best trial for the Derby. But this year's Guineas, just afterwards, I obviously was left a little bit feeling like the best horse didn't win it, because Field of Gold probably should have won the Guineas, shouldn't he? And for me, there's plenty enough doubts about Ruling Court staying too, let alone whether his Guineas win is up to standard. So I'm quite keen to be against Ruling Court. I think the best piece of form is the Bally Sachs, actually, the one that Delacroix won easily at the end of March, wasn't it? A long time ago. But that race threw up four subsequent winners, all in group and listed races. Of course, Delacroix himself winning the Derby trial at Leopardstown. And Lambourne won the Chest of Vars next time over a mile and a half. I expect those two to fight it out. I think Delacroix is still the most likely winner, but the one that I've backed is Lambourne. I think that he is a guaranteed stayer. The rain is obviously coming. That's going to put the emphasis on stamina, which will really, really suit Lambourne, I think. In his race behind Delacroix in the Bally Sachs, he ran the final furlong faster than the winner. So he was coming home very, very strongly. And when he won the Chest of Vars, although he appeared to make quite hard work of it, he was well on top at the finish line there, James. And the time compared quite well with Minnie Hawk's win in the Cheshire Oaks previously on the card. And Lambourne actually finished the race off inside the final furlong more than 2.5 lengths quicker than Minnie Hawk did. And when you consider Minnie Hawk is second favourite for the Oaks on Friday, I don't think that that's too bad a piece of form. I like the fact that that Lambourne's guaranteed to stay with the rain coming, and double figure odds. I'm going to have a little bit each way on him. I still think Delacroix is the one to beat. At a bigger price, massive odds here. Tennessee Studies is known for Horn Hope, James. Loves heavy ground. Won a Group One on heavy ground in France last season. Finished behind Delacroix last time in the Derby trial. But Joseph O'Brien certainly wouldn't have had that as the main target. He said, in fact, after he won that Group One last year, that Tennessee Stud would be aimed at the Derby this season. And with the rain coming, he's guaranteed stayer too, Tennessee Stud. I'll be having a bit each way on him too at massive odds. So it's a great Derby. I love Derbies where you can throw a few quid at horses at big prices and have realistic chance of winning. And I think it's one of those this year, James.
Certainly share your enthusiasm. We are talking here on Thursday afternoon. We're still unsure what the ground conditions will be like for Epsom on Saturday. But yeah, bit of rain. Tennessee Stud could be a huge price. And Lambourne is Graham Rodway's main fancy. It's a kick in the teeth, Liam, isn't it? If Lambourne wins, he's trained in Ireland.
Yeah, a little bit, James. Yeah, it's obviously, we've alluded to the name. It's obviously very apt to the names. Obviously, Lambourne running for Ballydoyle. There is a Lambourne trained horse in the race, Alwassel Storm for Owen Burrows. €7,000 he was purchased for by Ahmed Al Sheikh last year, and he's obviously got a fantastic record in the race. That the owner, you know, I think Hu Yao Mal was second a few years ago, 150-1. So, you know, his lofty prices at 100-1 is worth considering. And as Graham was saying, it's great to see such a big field in this race. So, you know, it is worth taking advantage of those bigger prices with a lot of runners. But for me, in terms of who I think will win the race, I'm sticking with my guns and siding with Delacroix. He's obviously a horse I've been saying for a few weeks now. I think the fact that Ryan Moore's opted to ride this horse, I think the draw on Wednesday probably had an impact on his decision in the big race. But I think the fact that Aidan O'Brien's number one jockey is choosing to ride Delacroix is obviously a big factor in this, in him sort of almost going off favourite as we're speaking right now. He's been really impressive in two starts at Leopardstown this season, both in group threes over a mile and a quarter. Obviously, the Ballysack's been one of them. He's bred to get this mile and a half. His half-brother, Grateful, won over this distance at the Curragh last year and also won a group one for Aidan O'Brien over further. So I think in terms of his family, he's bred to get the distance. I think there is obviously question marks surrounding a few of them. Obviously, none more so than Ruling Court. Huge question marks on if he stays and if the ground does sort of come up a bit testing over the weekend, then, you know, that adds into to the questions as well. I think draw 14 for Delacroix is really good. It's, you know, it's not the worst draw in the world. It's not the best, but it's produced four winners in previous years. So that's one to sort of, you know, go in his favour as well. And I just think he's an improving horse. He's developed it from his first start to his second start this season. And I just think there's a lot more to come. And he's obviously, I think, the strongest out of the Aidan O'Brien three. Obviously, the trainer has a great record in the race. So, yeah, Delacroix for me.
Yeah, the 11-4 favourite, getting positive mention. Ed, what's your selections here? And before you come in, Ed, I want to apologise to any listeners last week if they had Duran Duran stuck in the head after naps are given, which I did. So thanks for that one, Ed. Thursday night, you've given me headache. What do you fancy in the derby first?
Well, I'm glad it gave you headache. For me and Keith, I think we've been hungry as a wolf ever since, because no dinner for us. They ran appallingly. Our nap boat came almost last. But anyway, the derby is one of my favourite races. I love it. Since 1977, when I rushed home from primary school to watch the Minstrel and Lester Piggott with that rat-a-tat-tat to beat Hotgrave and Willie Carson with Blushing Groom in third. I'll always want to see it live, and I have done several times. We used to be the betting partner of the derby. It's a fantastic occasion. Anyone going there, they'll have a fantastic day. It is the most open derby I can remember for a long time. 19 runners. The maximum amount is 20. So we're obviously going extra place. That's our offer in the derby. It's almost like a handicap, isn't it, here? And as always, every year, there's many here that have shown good, or in some cases, very good form over the shorter trip. But this 1.5 mile trip is something most have yet to prove to stay. And that's always the question mark, isn't it? I mean, most of the leaders in the market, they've got a lot of question marks over their staying ability. I mean, Aidan O'Brien runs three well-bred improving three-year-olds, and he's won the race a record 10 times. Interestingly enough, he's saddled 101 runners in the race since 1998 when he had three. And his number one fancy is Delacroix. And he has looked very good in two runs this year. He's won two grade threes, hasn't he? Beating some good horses, including Lambourne. And he is the choice of four-time winning Derby jockey Ryan Moore, who incidentally is going for an unprecedented, I think, hat-trick of victories with the Derby, having won the last 2 years. But there's a couple of negatives for Delacroix for me. He's already had seven runs, which is quite a lot for an Aidan O'Brien Derby horse. I've had a little look at the records, and I think Aidan O'Brien horse has had more than seven runs before contesting the Derby. And only one horse with seven has won the race. Everyone else has been blown out. That was Anthony Van Dyke. The second biggest negative for me is the sire, Dubawi, who I remember not staying. He's still high class, so he finished third, I think, but not staying in the Derby behind those couple of Monju horses, Walk in the Park and Motivator in 2005. And his produce don't really stay, well, that's unfair to say. I can only find five horses that have won Group 1s by Dubawi over a mile and a half. He hasn't had that many runners compared to runners over shorter distances because of the breeding. But he's not well known for having mile and a half horses. And I think there's might be a doubt there. Same with Ruling Court. He showed so much speed in winning the Guineas, and he beat a horse who, you know, it's a speed race. It wasn't a fast run race. He beat a horse in third that will probably be a sprinter. The horse in second didn't have the best of runs through, came from a little bit far back. So I'm going to go for Lamborn. I was at Chester, very impressed by him. I don't think he was suited by the turns, but as someone once told me, it's like having two runs in one run at Chester a month before the Derby. You get the horse fit, you get the horse ready to go, but you also get it mentally stimulated, and it learns a lot from those twists and turns. And I think Lamborn would have learned a lot from that run. And also, that's over 1 mile 4. We've almost guaranteed that this horse will stay. A lot of them don't. And finally, James, no one's mentioned it, he's got the lucky stall 10, which has been the most winning stall number since starting stalls began in 67. So, yeah, I think Lamborn can make it win number 11 for Aidan O'Brien and continue. Well, it's not a bad record of Chester Vase winners. Hembit, Shergar, both won. Rule of the World was the last one to complete the double, who won it. I mean, we've had Wings of Eagles who came second in 2017. But, yeah, there's plenty of form. It's a good race for this Derby. And I just think Lamborn is a really good price. I do agree with a couple of the outsiders who have been put forward. I mean, I really like the looks of Al Wasser Storm, who also ran at Chester. His owner always likes to have a go. And he's had that run around Epsom, hasn't he, from that morning. So 150-1 could be a good each-way tip. But I'm all in on Lamborn, I must admit.
Yeah, the Rule of the World route, as you rightly say, stall 10 and 10-1 with Unibet as well, if you're one of those. Graham, we'll just come to you on a couple of horses we've not really talked about. Pride of Arras, the Dante winner, the Lion in Winter. Quite clearly taking them on. What do you rate of their chances?
Yeah, I mean, Pride of Arras was very impressive, wasn't he, when he won at York? But it obviously wasn't expected, was it? Because he was a big old price. The Lion in Winter was hammered off the boards like he couldn't possibly get beat in that Dante. And he was far, far too keen, the Lion in Winter, to have any chance of winning the race. And he still got within four lengths of the winner. And Damisus was second, and he's still very, very lightly raced, just like Pride of Arras, and could come on again. I would have thought the Lion in Winter would have been ridden by Ryan Moore if we're going to see a sudden bounce back to form, like we have done, of course, in the last 2 years with Auguste Rodin blowing out first time out, with City of Troy blowing out first time out. The Lion in Winter blew out first time out, although he ran a lot better than Auguste Rodin and City of Troy did on their reappearance. And Aidan O'Brien was very, very positive afterwards about what was, I thought, a pretty average run. But I just can't believe Ryan Moore wouldn't be on him. What do we think? Ryan, if the Lion in Winter was suddenly going to resurrect, like Christ, come right back to life, right back to that that we saw last year, Ryan Moore wouldn't be riding Delacroix, would he?
No, that's true. Well, we've got a bonus trick for you there, Graham, because as soon as you mentioned the Lion in Winter, the famous Rodway Budgies were singing. So perhaps we'll learn a lesson.
You should have heard them chirping away when Ed was talking about Al West Al Storm. I mean, the Budgies, they really liked Ed's case on Al West Al Storm, and that's 150-1.
Well, there we go. There's the forecast. We're done and dusted. There's the Epsom Derby over and done with. We know who's going to win. And we will have a look at the rest of the Epsom card after this short break. Okay, so we'll have four more live ITV races to preview, starting with the 1 o'clock at Epsom, the Princess Elizabeth Stakes, a Group 3 contest where at the head of affairs is 9-2 favourite Bright Thunder, Royal Dress and Bermuda Long Tail at fives, Serona 11-2 along with Skelets, Sparks Fly 7-1, Spiritual 8, Sunfall 12s, Chick Colombine 14s, Imperial Quarter 28s, and Kindest Nation, the rank outsider, at 66-1. Ed, this is like another handicap, but it's a group race. What an open betting heat this is.
It is. It's always a great race. I've always enjoyed going to the course and watching this race. I remember years ago, Sir Michael Stout doing quite well in this race, and I kind of just followed him blindly. Obviously, no Sir Michael Stout there now. First of all, this is the money back second, third as cash offer. So do take advantage of that because it is very competitive, as you say, 5-1 the field. And it, as we just discussed, it could be a momentous day for Rafe Beckett and Ross Ryan, both looking for their first Epsom Derby successes. But I think they get off to a flyer here with Skellit, who hasn't been seen out since taking a mile contest, listed contest, back end of last season. Lightly raced four-year-old, has a rating of 104, needs to improve a little bit here. But they've always obviously thought a lot of this horse. Started favourite when two-year-old for the Oh So Sharp Stakes. Was thought good enough to run in the Coronation Stakes, Grade 1, Group 1 at Royal Ascot. And I think this partnership with Ross Ryan and Rafe Beckett are going to be the partnership to follow in the next decade. I think they're doing so well at the moment, but I think they've got a lot of potential to be the partnership. I mean, Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore apart, I think this could be the next big partnership. And I think Rafe Beckett does think very carefully where he puts his horses. And I think he's a trainer that follows his trends and what's happened in the past. And he's only had four runners in this race before. One of them's won. That's Prosperous Voyage a couple of years ago. The other three were 20, 25 and 33. But Prosperous Voyage was expected to win 6-4. And Skellit could go off favourite here, 5-1. I think he's got a really, I think Skellit's got a really good chance here, the filly. Surprisingly, Ross and Moyer's never won this race. But he rides Serona, who I thought ran a nice race on debut, seasonal debut, and has got good form. And if the ground was to come soft, you'd have to put Sparks Fly in it. All her form, all her best form has been with a bit of give in the ground. So I think she needs the give in the ground to be competitive here. But yeah, I think Skellit's got a favourite's chance. Joint favourite at the moment, 5-1. But I think they might come for this.
Liam, you've got a strong fancy in the Princess Elizabeth.
Yeah, I really like the look of Royal Dress for James Tate. She's been really consistent for throughout her career. I think 10 of her 17 starts, she's finished in the top three. And she didn't really run too badly when third in the Middleton last time at York. Obviously, no match for the winner there. You can see the fire, obviously bolted up for Andrew Balding. But, you know, she travelled really well for large parts of it. And she can definitely come on for that. That was obviously her first start for, you know, since August, since the last run there last year. And yeah, she's sort of slowly creeping back up to the level that we've seen her in the past. I think stepping back down to Group 3 company from Group 2 will help her. She obviously won a Group 3 at the Curragh last summer. And she was third in this race 12 months ago. And I think... Excuse me. I think having course form at Epsom is such a benefit. You know, going into any race there on the downs, and she was only beaten 3/4 of a length that day when third. So I think she can definitely come forward for that. If the ground, obviously we know we keep talking about the ground, we don't know what it will be as we speak on Thursday. But if the expected rain does come in, I think that will benefit her. Her last two wins have come on good and soft, so any rain shouldn't hamper her chances. And she's also won on really testing ground for when she was with Richard Hannon as well. So the slower surface could be a factor into her running a big race. I think William Buick is a big notable jockey as well. First time he's going to be riding her, and she's well drawn in stall too. I think three of the last five winners of this race have been positioned in stalls 1, 2, or 3. So she's sitting in the middle of that trend, and I think she can go well.
Royal Dress, a compelling case there from Liam at 5-1. Graham, Liam touches on course form there, which I find quite interesting because from an angle of reading the form here, you've got Epsom form, which is important because it's such a quirky course. But away from the Derby meeting, they're not strong races at Epsom. So yeah, there's a bit of a balancing act, ironically.
Yeah, very difficult, isn't it? I mean, generally speaking, obviously, course form is a massive plus, but and particularly a track like Epsom, which is a really quirky sort of course. But there's also a particular jockey seem to ride Epsom better than others, like Sylvester D'Souza is really good around Epsom. I remember being there 1 year. Andrea at Zenny had about three or four winners. You know, there's jockeys who can get on a roll around this track, and once they're flying high in confidence, then a bit of knowledge of the track can really make a difference. And it's knowing which part of the track to challenge on as well, particularly of course if the rain comes, it could even end up coming towards the stand side. So there's all sorts of factors to throw in around Epsom, but sometimes you don't have to factor in around other tracks. It's just a quirky sort of course, isn't it? So in this opener, I thought Carl Burke's runner had a good chance, Bright Thunder. I thought she had pretty much the best piece of form available in the race, and that was when she was fifth behind One Look in a group three at the Curra in April. One Look has obviously gone on to chase home a Porta Fortuna. The sixth that day was Whirl, who's quite well fancied for the Oaks and has since won the Musidora. The seventh, Garden of Eden, has won a listed race since. That form is really strong, that Curra form. Bright Thunder was well fancied at Goodwood last time out and was only beaten the neck by Crimson Advocate, but looked certain to win at one stage. She travelled really well through the race, traded at 6-4 in running, and that was after making a right old mess of the start. She stumbled coming out of the stalls, lost some ground and had to use up a lot of holes to come through with her challenge, and I think maybe that just cost her in the closing stages. She was just run down near the line that day. The runner-up that day, Betty Clover, was third in the Prix de Sandringham Group 2 at Chanty on Sunday behind Godspeed. So the form of that race is working out well. And I think as long as Bright Thunder can avoid any mishaps at the start, like she didn't manage to last time at Goodwood, she should be bang there in this race from stall 4.
And a bit of money as well as we talk on Thursday. 5-1 into 9-2 favourite Bright Thunder. The selection of Gren Rodway in the 1 o'clock. Let's move on to the third race. We'll be looking at the second race of the card. The 135, the Betfred Diarmid Stakes, of course, named after the first Derby winner in 1780. Even that nostalgia a bit too old for you, Ed, isn't it, surely? Let's move on.
I knew. That's an odds on that landed already.
I thought I'd get there before you did. The 135, let's have a look at the market. Your favourite at 7-4 is Docklands. Persica, 9-4. Geography, 15-2. Royal Playwright, 17-2. Royal Dubai at 9-1. Ice Max, 14s. Cairo, 16s. Brave Emperor, 25s, along with Tyrrhenian Sea. Liam, you can kick us off. What do you like in the Diarmid Stakes?
Yeah, I think it's a really open race, this one. Obviously, you've got Docklands vying for favouritism, obviously for Harry Eustace sort of returning to the top class level as well. But a big price. I really like Ice Max for Carl Burke. He's dropping back in group to group three. Obviously finished and sailed off 7th of 8th in the Bet 365 mile at Sandown the last day. But I think he would have needed that run. He's been sort of freshened up since then, and I think he can take a big step forward. Obviously, he's won Group 2 before he won the Celebration Mile last year as well. So he's obviously a top-class horse who's proven it on the big stage. And I think he's another one who will appreciate any slower ground, because all five of his wins have come on ground that's had soft in the description. He's also, like I said, he's a big price. I think he's around 10-1 at the moment. He's a few pounds better off in the weights compared to a couple of the leading fancies in the race. And I just think he's a genuine contender in this one. I think he's been handed stall 1. The race has produced, three winners since 2016 in that position. So that's another one that can sort of factor into his chances. I just think he's one that can definitely outrun his odds for Carl Burke.
Yeah, not 10-1, 14-1 with Unibet Ice Max. What's your selection, Ed?
Unlike the previous two races, which are really open, I think the favourite or second favourite will win this, Docklands or Persica. Slight concern with Docklands, he hasn't won since 2023. He's only won two races as well, and they're both handicaps. But he has run some cracking races. The 5-year-old ended last year on a plane and went to Australia and Hong Kong, And then he came back and ran at Ascot in the trial for, well, they call it a trial for the Queen Anne, and finished second. Second time he's finished second. And obviously he did finish second in the Queen Anne as well, but he behind Charing. He'll be hard to beat, but as I say, he doesn't win that often. And he has been drifting. We initially put him in at 5-4 and now 7-4, 15-8. I like Persica. You spoke about the course form, or we all spoke about the course form at Epsom. He's the only course winner in the field. Richard Haddon sends him here. Richard sent Oh This Is Us to win this race and to come second and to come third in this race. It's a race he likes. Persica hasn't really stopped improving. I mean, started winning handicaps off 80 as a three-year-old and then 90 and then finished last term running in a Group 1, the Champion Stakes. He's already won Group 3, the Earl of Sefton. Then they threw him in the lock-ins where he ran badly. So as long as you can forgive him that eighth, we know he's fit, we know he's well, we know he's probably at least as good as he was last year with that win in the Group 3 Earl of Sefton. And with us discussing all the weather, he's won on ground from good to firm and all the way up to soft. So, you know, you don't have to be worried about the ground with him. There was one other horse that I kind of like. I liked him as a two-year-old. And if it was on the faster side or good ground, I think Royal Playwright might have a chance at big odds. He ran in the Royal Lodge as a two-year-old, finished second, and he ended up in the Futurity at the end of the season. It hasn't run too well both races this year, but Andrew Boarding does like this race. He's won it three times, I think, from 10 runners. Tullius, Side Glance and Passing Glance. And the fact he runs his horse here with Hashim Murphy, I think, was quite significant, around about 10-1. So if the ground wasn't soft, I think Royal Playwright would be an each-way play. But, yeah, I think Persica will win this myself.
Graham, would you want to take on the top two in the betting, or do you think they're clearly the ones to beat?
You know, I'm quite keen to take them on, actually. I mean, Docklands is, like Ed said, a bit of a serial non-winner. And having spoken about course form at Epsom, obviously he is an Ascot horse, isn't he? His three highest racing post ratings are all at Ascot. Four of his six highest RPRs are at Ascot. I mean, you can't get much more different a track to Ascot than Epsom, can you? I mean, Ascot's a stiff uphill straight, and Epsom is downhill left-handed around the bend, you know. So I've got to be against Docklands. And Persica, it looked like he was on the improve at Newmarket when he won there, but he was obviously well beaten last time in Group 1 company. This is a big drop in grade, but I don't think that lock-ins was the strongest at Group 1s. I mean, Lee Dyke's who won it is a questionable Group 1 also, I would say. So I'm quite keen to take them on. The one that I like at a big price here, James, is Cairo, Alice Haynes' runner. I've actually backed the Foxes, who beat him last time for the Prince of Wales' Stakes, at a big price at Ascot, because I thought the Foxes were very impressive that day. And he won in a good time, and the time was essentially set up for him by Cairo, who went off and made the running for him, but did remarkably well, really, to hang on for second. And he's just the sort of horse that I like. He's been running fast times over longer trips from the front. And now he drops back to a mile with a visor on for the first time. Surely only one way he's going to get ridden here from stall nine. They're going to have to try and get him out and get across and go from the front because they know he stays. His last win was over a mile. I think the drop in distance is definitely going to suit him. And I'm hoping that he can frank that Foxes form last time out from Chester and make my bet on the Foxes for the Prince of Wales' Stakes at Royal Ascot in a couple of weeks look even better.
Yeah, a little tease of Royal Ascot. And of course, if you do want Royal Ascot tips, do you remember last week's postcast, the very start of the postcast, we've got some anti-post selections for you. So do check that one out if you're looking ahead to Royal Ascot. But the selection there for Graham in the 135 Epsom is Cairo, a bit of a big price. Let's look at the final two races. And we're going to dash through them because they are two dashes. This is the 210 at Epton, the Betfred three-year-old dash. At the head of affairs is Ruby's Profit at 3-1 for Dr. Rich Newland and Jamie Insole, who's going from winning Grand Nationals to winning over five furlongs at Epsom. Some achievement, perhaps. Against the Wind at 4-1. Mademoiselle at 6-1. Cape Sovereign, 15-2. Blinky 11s. Nana Sparkle at 11s. Gold Star Hero, 14s. Along with Glorious Kitty and Acreus, 16-1 bar. Graham, you've got a strong fancy in the three-year-old dash.
Oh, yeah, I'm really excited about this one now because I've seen the draw. Ruby's Prophet, the favourite. Now, I really fancied this at the start of the week because she is quick. I mean, she is really fast. Go back and watch her last two runs at Chester when she made most of the running was just caught by a red orange and then made all last time down downhill track at Goodwood. And they just didn't see which way she goes. And I just was hoping she'd get a high draw anywhere near the standside rail. And sure enough, the gods have come and all aligned and Ruby's Prophet has gone and drawn stall 18 out of 18. You could not make it. You could not wish for any better. I mean, this is going to be so exciting. As long as she gets out the stalls, and she's quick out the stalls, this Ruby's Prophet, there ain't going to be anything getting on that rail in front of her. I can tell you that. And she is going to be blasting away up that stand side rail. It's going to take a really good horse to come and beat her if she can get in front after a furlong or two, because she will be rapid down that hill for the first couple of furlongs. They're all going to have to come out wide and try and come round her to catch her. I don't think they're going to see which way she goes, James. She is rapid, this horse. Ruby's Prophet is the bet of the weekend.
3-1 selection. Strong fancy there from Graham. We love to see it. Liam, what's your selection?
Well, I'm going to go with Ruby's Prophet's neighbour, Blinky, in stall 17. I think, again, a huge price. He's put in three really impressive performances since joining Anthony Britton from Ed Walker. Two on the all-weather, won both of them, and wasn't beaten too much when third at Chester last month. So that Chester performance, he yielded a career-high performance based on racing post rating. So I think he can definitely put another step forward. He's obviously had a really good break since then, and I think he is better suited to the slower ground. Won on good to soft last year, and obviously any rain would help him. And as Graham's alluded to, a high draw in this race is crucial. The last two winners have been drawn 13 and 20, so 17 slots right in there, and I think he can definitely run a huge race.
11-1 shot for Liam, and finish us off, Ed.
Yeah, I'm all over Ruby's Prophet. Very similar reasons. I think she's a filly in form. She's got the draw. As we said, the last two winners have been drawn very high. And this is, you know, this is the quickest five furlongs in the world, isn't it? I thought the record was 53 and change, but it's now on the Racing Post site. It's been 54. They might have measured the race course, but it's whatever. It's very quick. And this horse showed blistering speed at Goodwood, only £6 higher. Also showed good gate speed at Chester and Wolverhampton as well, which are both speedy tracks. I was surprised Graham's gone for it, though, from the value, because I always think with Graham, it's value. I mean, I thought I was going to pick her and everyone was going to say, well, she's 3-1. But what do you think about that, Graham, the price? 3-1 short, isn't it?
It is short, you know, but I wouldn't be surprised if she goes off shorter than that, just the way that the draws panned out for her. I mean, I was having this discussion actually with Keith, who obviously was on the show last week, just before, and he was saying, what price does Ruby's Prophet go off after that draw? And I said, I reckon sub 3-1. He said he reckons it'll go sub 3-1 and then drift. But whatever the case, I mean, having fancied her anyway at the start of the week, I just can't be jumping off of her, having got that high draw in stall 18. What price do you think she's going to go off it? Sub 3-1, or is she going to drift like Keith says?
She's already been backs, and I think it will go less than threes and then drift out again. I think you won't get anyone tip. I don't think many tipsters or many value hunters will tip her up in this field with so many runners, but I think she's the most likely winner. And as you said, you know, you're a form expert, and she's the most likely winner with the best draw, fastest horse in the race, good late form. She's got to be 11-4 down to maybe 5-2, and then maybe drift out back out to 7-2, but. Yeah, I do think she's going to be a very short price favourite. It's just at 3-1 in a race like this, it's a 3-year-old dash. There are horses that are going to be improving. And if she doesn't make the break, I mean, if she doesn't make the break, she could be in all sorts of trouble. So, I mean, that's what you've got to take on. But yeah, I just thought she was the most likely winner. I was hoping for a bigger price, but I don't think you'll get it. But yeah, Ruby's Prophet would be my selection anyway.
No sign of 3-1 after that Glen review, Graham. They'll be piling in after hearing from your thoughts there. So keen on the chances of Ruby's profit. Last race we are going to look at is the 2:45 at Epton, the Aston Martin Dash Handicap. As Ed alluded to, one of the fastest races you will see. Blink and you'll miss it. And your favourite at 6-1, a proper betting race as well, if you want to get involved. At 6-1 is Jer Batt. JM Jungle, we see him almost every week now, don't we? 13-2. Spartan Arrow at 8. Clarendon House and Democracy Dilemma at 17-2. Fairwind, 9-1. Desert Cop and Vintage Clarets at 11s. And 12-1 is Dream Composer and Existent. What's the thinking, Liam?
I'm thinking Spartan Arrow can run a big race for Archie Watson. Obviously, he was disappointed when 10th at York the last day. He travelled well for the majority of the race, but just really slowed down towards the end and obviously finished tailed off. Whether the quick ground that day played its part, I don't know. But I think the return to Epsom will help, given the fact that he won over course and distance on his penultimate start. He should go well again. He's one of three course and distance winners in the race. He's done really well since joining the Lambourne trainer. He's 3 from 9 on the turf, in his career. And I just think he can put sort of that disappointing conclusion to York behind him and go well on a track he's already proven on.
Yep. Graham, what's your thinking?
I like the two favourites here again. James, having just said that not many people will be bagging these short price favourites in big fields. But I remember I was there, I think we watched it together for last year's Dash when the well-fancied Dream Composer went and won it. And he's a much bigger price here. But the two that I like are Jer Batt and JM Jungle. I just think that both of them have been in cracking form. Slight preference for Jer Batt for me. I thought that Ashley Murphy is a bit of a significant jockey booking for David and Nicola Barron. I think he's only ridden 3 or 4 times for them since they started as a partnership. And the horse has obviously been in fantastic form, hasn't he? I mean, he was unlucky not to win at Donny last year. He was behind JM Jungle and that American Affair, which came out and won. American Affair came out and won at York. And JM Jungle chased home American Affair. It's just like all those form lines, they all intertwine, but they're all working out. Every time, everywhere you look, that American Affair form line is working out nicely. Drawn in stall 9, of course, which will be a bit of a challenge for Oshin Murphy. But unlike Ruby's Prophet, Jer Batt doesn't have to lead. So I expect Oshin Murphy will try and slot in behind and pick them off late. But I'm with Jer Batt. I think JM Jungle's the big danger. Boring though it is, two favourites for me, James.
Yeah. What's your selection, Ed?
Well, I've started the same way as I've started for the 3-year-old Dash, looking for an inform sprinter with a high draw. Therefore, my eye was caught straight away by my old favourite Clarendon House, who I tipped up in this race 12 months ago. I was with Graham when we watched the race together, and I think it might even be my nap. And, you know, I said what a great sprinter he was, how quickly he got out of the stalls, and he duly planted himself and literally started about 10 lengths after the rest. But he is usually quicker weight, and he's got stall 15, so he's got a good chance, but especially having finished third in the Group 2 Palace House at H Quarters not long ago, he's still got the class, hasn't he? But I will not be making the same mistake. Freud talked about repetition compulsion, and I will not be making the same mistake twice. I'm not going to back Clarendon House. I've identified the pattern. He's my cliff horse. I'm not going to back him. He'll probably win now. But I'm going to go instead for a second horse drawn 18 over the 5 furlongs. Trip at Epsom, Spartan Arrow, who's already won over the course and distance. If you go back and you watch the ride that Holly Doyle gave Spartan Arrow that day, last one to come off the bridle was Motionless with 2 to go, and every other jockey was pumping along. Up 7 pounds, as we've heard, it's indicated it's been beaten since at York, but you can forgive a horse a run, can't you? 7 pounds higher today, but that draw is positive, really positive, and you can get 10 to 1. So it's a competitive affair, but I think Spartan Arrow, it'd be able to make use of that draw as well. You've got to be able to make use of a high draw, and was cruising along from a long way out. So I'm expecting Spartan Arrow and Holly Doyle to come home the winners.
Yeah, you mentioned the stalls. Well, 18 was one of those stalls that didn't open a few years ago, if you remember rightly, Ed. So fingers crossed you do have a bit more luck this year. The selection there for Ed is Spartan Arrow at 8-1. We'll be having just a quick look ahead of Friday's racing as we record on Thursday at the Oaks. Graham, just kick us off. What's your fancy on Friday?
Yeah, I'm against his favourite, Desert Flower. I thought that it was a bit of a disappointing 1,000 guineas that she won. They all finished in a bit of a heap, all on top of each other. She's actually been rated towards the bottom of the race standards by our Racing Post ratings, lads. And that 1,000 guineas for her was £2 below her best RPR. So they didn't even think that Desert Flower ran to her best that day. And the RPR of 113 that she got for the 1,000 guineas would have been good enough to win only one Oaks in the last 10 years. It would have equaled last year's winner Azelia as well. But nevertheless, like, there's a lot of people saying that Desert Flower is an outstanding filly who's won like five in a row. I'm not entirely sure yet. She might well go and prove it by winning the Oaks, but she's got an awful lot to prove. You know, she's run five times all on straight tracks as well. There's a different sort of track. So the one that I like is Well. I thought that she was very, very impressive when she won the Musidor. I'm quite surprised that Ryan Moore's riding Mini Hawk. I made the case earlier for Lamborn having run a faster time than Mini Hawk furlong by furlong at Chester and having finished faster than Mini Hawk, significantly faster than Mini Hawk as well. So I'm quite surprised that Mini Hawk's the choice of Ryan Moore. Well, reminds me a little bit of Snow. Was it called Snowfall, wasn't it? I was going to call it Snowdrop, but Snowdrop won a triumph, didn't it? Snowfall, yeah, who was ridden by Frankie 3 or 4 years ago. I think after winning the Musidora impressively in the same way that Well did, Ryan Moore chose to ride the hot favourite that day. I think it was Santa Barbara. Frankie Dettori came in for the ride on the Musidora winner Snowfall, and she won by record breaking 16 lengths, I think. Well, just reminds me an awful lot of Snowfall. She's been overlooked for that Musidora win that was so impressive, and I think she's got the best form in the race. Personally, I think World's form is better than the 1,000 guineas form on show from Desert Flower, and she's more likely to stay.
Yeah, Liam, very quick look up Friday.
Yeah, I think it is wide open, and I'm happy to take on the favourite here. I think there obviously is question marks over the stamina. I do like we might take the long way for Joseph O'Brien at a really nice price. Wasn't beaten much by Delacroix in the Ballysacks, and as we've obviously touched on before earlier on the show, the Ballysacks form has worked out tremendously well. She will have needed that run. You know, first time out, and she was really followed a really impressive up when winning the Group 3 Salisbury at Navan on a next start. Came on soft ground that, so any juice in the ground will obviously work in her favour. She also did defeat Mini Hawk at Cork in October last year, so, you know, she's really rarely put a foot wrong in a few starts for Joseph O'Brien. And obviously there is, like I said, there is question marks on a few of the others. We mentioned Desert Flower. We don't know just yet how good the 1,000 guineas was. Giselle obviously won a Lingfield Oaks trial, but how good can you sort of reflect on that? It was a 3-runner race. Also do like Killing Queen for Ed Walker. Obviously great to see a local horse from my patch in the race. But the question mark her, I guess, we know she'll stay, but four of her five runs have come on really quick ground, and it's very unlikely we'll see that sort of condition on tomorrow, Friday, as we're speaking now. So, at a big price, we might take the long way for Joseph O'Brien for me.
And finally, Ed, very quickly, what do you like on Friday?
Yeah, Desert Flower aiming to become the 50th filly to win the Guineas and Oaks double. Cassia, Minding and Love have done it. Aidan O'Brien's won this race 10 times. I think he won it 11th with Mini Hawk. I think she's already shown that she can stay almost a distance, 1 mile, 3.5, winning the Cheshire Oaks at Chester. And as we all say, there's still a doubt about Desert Flower, the form, and whether she'll stay, Night of Thunder filly. So, yeah, I'm going to put all my eggs in the basket with Aidan O'Brien to win again with Mini Hawk.
Kate, we will get the best bets after this quick word from our sponsors.
want betting on the horses to be anything but flat. With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with three UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Okay, it's that time in the show to find out what our best bets of the weekend are. Graham, we've got to start with you. I think we can guess what it's going to be.
Yeah, it's 210 at Epsom. Ruby's profit's going to be out and away down that hill at Epsom. I don't think they'll see which way she goes, James.
Yeah, my nap of the weekend comes in the Princess Elizabeth, 1 o'clock, James Tate train, Royal Dress. She's been really consistent throughout her career, finished in the top three in 10 of her 17 starts. William Buick is a notable jockey booking, and I think her stall two is a very good position for her. She was third in the race last year, only beating three quarters of length, and I think that course and distance form will help her here.
Yeah, so far we've got Ruby's Prophet Graham in the 2:10 at Epsom, Royal Dress in the 1 o'clock at Epsom. Ed, what's yours?
Yeah, Ruby's Prophet's drawn 18. I think Spartan Arrow will be the second 5 furlong winner drawn 18 in the All-Age Sprint. Hollydoor rides Archie Watson, improved 5-year-old, still lightly raced, one over course and distance, £7 higher today, but around about 10-1 with this great draw. I think it's worth a chance. Yeah, so Spartan Arrow will be the nap in the All-Age Dash.
At 2:45. Well, no one's picked the Derby, so that leaves it to me. I'm going to go Stanhope Gardens at a big price. Didn't win much on his return, but got some promising form. And I'm sure this horse will be a top-notch mile and a half horse for the ARC-winning trainer, Rafe Beckett. Thank you very much to our panellists. That is Graham Rodway, Liam Head and Ed Nicholson from Unibet. And thanks to you for watching along and listening along wherever you are. Do remember to rate, review and subscribe if you're a fan of this show. And of course, anything else from the Racing Post. There's loads of content coming up in the next few days. And of course, do follow the Racing Post website for all the updates from Derby Day, all the reports, all the insight from the track. Do not miss a thing there. But also, make sure to join us again at 7 o'clock next Thursday for the postcast. We'll be looking at the action at Sandown and York. But as for now, goodbye. Good luck on Derby weekend. And of course, gamble responsibly.